Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
He won't let Jay just motion his ankles in peace. That's all Jay
wants.
That's
all I wanted to do yesterday. That's why, I wore the high tops today, because I felt insecure, obviously, about the ankles.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Now Key, I'm the bully.
Key bullied me.
Yeah. And I bullied him into wearing high tops.
Max, you realize that Key was, as a child, called Keyshawn Fried Chicken when he went to school? You think it's...
Keyshawn. Hold on.
Nope.
Get the single shot off my high tops.
So, I just want people to know, I'm going to stop them in their tracks. I just want them to know that
you're going to go.
Max
there.
Was talking about something from yesterday.
They just played the sound.
But make sure people don't cancel you. You just want to make sure you don't get canceled.
I don't get canceled. Okay. Let me be very good. Okay, I appreciate that.
You got to clarify.
I'll let you know when I want you to get canceled. Not today.
Let me be very clear. Let me be very clear. We just heard sound from yesterday where Key was giving Jay problems about Jay trying to just lotion his ankles. And then Key told a story about what? Go ahead, tell
it. My mom would give us the Crisco oil, or Wesson or whatever it was, to put on our skin because we didn't have lotion, and I would... It's like fried chicken, walking in the sun.
So you said fried chicken, which then Max... Your response to Keyshawn
You have to be very careful nowadays. I appreciate that, Key.
Making sure that your name doesn't appear on one of these headlines in one of these New York papers. Max Kellerman calls Keyshawn fried chicken. Counsel him out.
And then we have to talk to welcome to Keyshawn and J. Will tomorrow on
ESPN and Fried
ESPN
Chicken.
And fried
you know what's amazing?
Sponsored by.
You know what's amazing about social media is because clickbait, you only need 3-5
seconds. That's what they do.
And if you tune in, and that's the 3 or 5 seconds you hear.
Or that's the headline, and they don't provide the 30-second commentary after the headline.
Yes.
I wonder what meat I would be, though. I wonder what meat I want to be.
What?
He said chicken, but what else would I want to be? Like, would I want to be an expensive, what is it, Chateaubriand or something like that?
Isn't that a wine? Is that
I think that's a meat too, right?
I wish my mother would have, like, introduced me to lotion as a kid because you think, like, everyone gets dry skin. Oh, in the New York winters.
But you can't see your dry skin the way you can see it.
Oh, forget about seeing it, the way it felt.
See, like, dry skin for me, like you guys saw yesterday, when I could scratch Key's name, it's like chalk on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
That's how you can see the K in my thigh.
And then if I go too long without lotion, I start to look like a snake. Start cracking everywhere.
I'm just saying, winters in New York, no cupcake for that. No matter what you look like, it's what it feels like.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
That's why.
Jeff Darlington, by the way, is going to join us in 10 minutes to talk Brady Belichick.
Did you talk to that realtor yet?
No. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. We got a stat that you need to hear. Listen. Warren Sharp tweeted this about my beloved New York football Giants. This is driving me nuts. Not at any point, not in any season, for the last 5 years, did the Giants have a winning record, not even for 1 week. They're 3-0-3 now, so the earliest they could have a winning record is week 7 of this year. But tell me if you think they're going to have a winning record. Saints, Cowboys, Rams, Panthers.
Negative.
So this is my question. I'll start by giving you
my
answer.
Where is the Panther game? In New York?
I'd have to look.
I think it's in New York. I just was thinking Sam Darnold back in the Meadowlands, MetLife.
So this is how I feel. Honestly, my entire life's happiness is diminished by, I'd say, at least 5%. I'm adding everything up. My home life, everything. When the Giants are this bad and I get no joy on Sunday because of it, so here's the question. 888-SAY-ESPN. Like, what is your life diminished by when your football team stinks? And Patriots fans who are going through this for the first time in 20 years, what about you?
They got plenty of leftovers in the cupboard. They can chill. They do.
They got six Super Bowls.
That's why I said they got plenty of leftovers.
Six.
I'm just saying.
But the last time I was in New York, like living, is when I played for the Jets. The Giants and the Jets, were both bad. The Giants and the Jets were bad. Dan Reeves... Bad. It was bad giant teams, right? And so then we had a nice little a couple years of being good, and then I wind up going to Tampa Bay. But this is what it feels like to me. It feels like those bad giant jet teams where it's like they got – Giants got players because they had players then. They had Amani Toomer and Kerry Collins, and they had Tiki Barber and Michael Strahan, and they got some players, but they don't get the Ws. And they were not getting the Ws back then either with players, and it came down, in my opinion, to the coach. And then eventually Fossil came in. They did some good stuff, went to the Super Bowl. He left some stuff. And then Coughlin came in, and the rest was history, although they were not winning 12 and 13 games
a season.
That's
the thing. The Giants don't consistently win double. Like, look at the Seahawks since Russell Wilson's been there. It's not they're winning double digits every year. It's they go through valleys, and they have some peaks where they win the Super Bowl. Patriots fans, though, all they're used to is winning and winning.
It's like in
Lucas in Fort Myers. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Good morning, guys. What's up?
Wanted
to say that when the Buccaneers are not winning like they did from 08 to 2019, it affected my happiness by, like, I would say 30 to 40% every Sunday. 40%. I'm still going to have fun, enjoy the games, but it just doesn't make it as fun when your team is winning or you have confidence in them.
Oh, Bucks.
You said the Buccaneers, right?
Bucks.
Yeah. He said Bucks. I'm like... He said they were not winning from 08
right.
yeah.
to 19.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, okay. 30 to 40%.
But see, that one,
that's a huge hit.
But then that one Super Bowl just wipes away all – I mean, now you're champions. It wipes it all away.
But wait, Jay.
No, but see, prior to 08, though, we were winning.
Yeah, we're doing it at a high clip.
Yeah, at a high clip. Every year we're in the playoffs, we're either winning division or slightly right there to win the division, and then we go and win the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden there's a huge drop-off.
That's why I feel horrible for Jet fans.
When you say it wipes it all away, it does not, because one of the reasons it's so good when you win is because you paid all those dues as a fan up until then. All those years through, if some kids in high school or college, whatever they are at the job, years go by of misery and suffering.
But basically, it makes it worth it, though. It makes it worth it because now you've reached that point that you're like, I hated all those years, but look what it got me to. So if I have to go through another 15 years, I got this one to keep me going, right? Whereas some teams don't actually get those championships, and it's perpetual misery.
But see, the thing for me when it comes to the misery as a fan, if the Lakers aren't winning, okay, I'll just move over to the Dodgers. And if the Dodgers aren't winning, I'll move over to the Lakers. And if the Lakers and the Dodgers aren't winning, hopefully USC is winning. So you kind of try to cover all of your bases so that misery doesn't carry you into the fall and the spring and in the summer. You got something that's like,
tough.
The problem now with y'all in New York, ain't nobody winning.
No, but are you a Knicks fan?
Not anymore.
Since
Dolan sells the team, I'll be a Knicks fan.
So have you transitioned to Brooklyn?
I lived in L.A. for 6 years, always wanted to be a Lakers fan. So that's what I – Lakers, but in New York, I root for the Nets.
Okay.
We don't accept him.
You deny his access.
You don't access. Accept me. I'm the –
You can't just jump – well,
I'm the mayor of Lakerland. What is he talking about?
We don't accept Max Kellerman as a Laker fan.
What do you mean we?
We have given you a guest pass – that we can revoke at any given time.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
So you are not a permanent season ticket holder.
Just trying to tell y'all.
I see what you're doing.
The Lakers and Nets are in the NBA Finals. We doing the show on the road.
No, Key's being slick about something else. Like, I see what he's doing. He's setting me up.
No, I'm not. I'm not setting you up. I'm just saying when you know, you cannot be in Los Angeles for 6 years and say I'm a Laker fan when you've been born and raised.
I was the voice of the Lakers.
In New York for your entire life.
You're
and all
fan.
You've known is Knicks, Giants, and Yankees. Now all of a sudden you go to LA for a cup of coffee.
That's right.
And you want to be
Yankees,
a fan.
You're Giants, Knicks, and Lakers.
Your Knicks made it to the playoffs last year.
Oh, stop it.
Fraud.
Just stop it.
What?
No, you got to stop that.
Julius Randle.
Keyshawn.
What? Kemba Walker. Derrick Rose.
They're a hard team to root against. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
I know, you know, which way the wind blows. I know that home tunnel. I know what the fans are going to sound like. I'm not going to be thinking about 20 years of history.
And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
The dynasty not done yet. We've played it other times, you know, without Tom.
When you get yourself in a situation like this, you got to take advantage of it.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, you are the man. You are the GOAT.
I'm not going to necessarily reminisce. I'll have plenty of opportunities to reminisce about my football career.
If they know anything about me, they're going to know that I'm going out there to try to win the football game.
We're going to hear from Jeff Darlington live from Tampa Bay, but Jeff got the sit down everyone wanted. He talked to the GOAT, Tom Brady, and this is what Tom told Jeff about returning to New England.
What will that be like, Tom? What will it be like?
I know exactly how it's going to be like. I won't share it with anyone because I feel like I want to keep that to myself until, you know, what I know what that experience will be. But I have a really good idea of what that'll be like because I want to help it prepare for ultimately, my performance. And I'm going to use what I've learned over the years to, you know, hopefully go out there and play a great game.
That's interesting. You're saying you know what it'll – you've internalized what it'll feel like.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly. I can envision everything.
You can catch Jeff Darlington's full interview with Tom Brady this Sunday on NFL Countdown, where Randy Moss, Teddy Bruschi, and the rest of the crew will be live from Gillette Stadium. It all kicks off Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. And now we bring in Jeff Darlington. Good morning, Jeff. I got to ask you right off the top.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's going on? What did you make when you heard Tom Brady answer you that way? What were you thinking?
The interesting part is that he continues that statement. You know, that's the old teaser, but there's more to it. And I'll go ahead and let you guys into it. Why not, right? It's only 2 days away. So he went in to talk about how he has already envisioned everything and what the wind will be like, what they'll say, what the stadium will feel like at night. He feels like he already knows all of that. And I think that it's very deliberate on his part. He wants to feel, when he goes in there, completely comfortable with the emotions that are going to potentially overtake him. He doesn't want to go in there and all of a sudden be surprised by anything. And that, I think, is the epitome of Tom Brady's greatness, that he is able to compartmentalize and plan for moments exactly like these.
How emotional do you think? You know him, Jeff, right? I mean, you broke the story and got it right, and everybody else got it wrong. How emotional do you think he will be between Saturday night and leading up into the game Sunday?
So I think he's trying to definitely navigate this again. I think part of the idea of envisioning and preparing is so that he's not as emotional. Now, I do know that there's people around him who are saying, you can plan all you want, Tom. You're gonna be emotional when you get there in this moment. But I don't know if that's true. I mean, he's done a really good job this week even of focusing on the fact that they're coming off of a loss and they need to get their season back on track with a win in this game as opposed to talking about the return. I totally am with everybody that would suggest that there's a human element involved that he will not be able to look beyond. But again, it's part of what makes him so special is the fact that he is able to compartmentalize his feelings and go out there and play a football game. Will he be emotional at some point? Probably. Will it impact his ability on the field? I actually doubt it.
Mm. Jeff, how do you interpret what Tom said about Bill Belichick? And a lot of people look at that relationship as strained. I don't. I look at it as a relationship where two people were together for 20 years and then had to go their separate ways for whatever reasons. But what do you make of that?
I kind of, when he was talking about it yesterday, it sort of reminded me of the way like a man would talk about his ex-wife. Like he started to mention Belichick, but then quickly was like, but I have my new coaches and I love my new coaches. And it was like, you got to make sure you get that shout out in there. You don't want to get in trouble when you leave the microphone. But I think that's kind of where his focus is right now. When he does talk about Belichick, and in our sit-down he did this, he references the past. He talks about the beginning. And I think for him, that's his way of sort of being complimentary and not making this dramatic, that he can talk about the good times without thinking about, you know, some of the strain that did exist at the end of things in New England. And it's probably the classiest way to handle this, you know? Rather than go down that road, talk about the beginning when things were great, And also make sure you give your shout out to your new wife, because we all know you don't want to miss that opportunity.
Jeez. No, you don't. Jeff, this is why Tom plays the game, right? For moments like this moment that's coming up on Sunday night. You think about, he's won 7 Super Bowls. He's reached that epitome. But does this game have a Super Bowl-like feel for you when you sit down with him because of how monumental it is? Like, mentor
does.
Going against pupil that's turned into a mentor of his own.
I would argue that the vibe will be even more electric than a Super Bowl. And part of that is the corporate vibe that a Super Bowl kind of brings. It's almost this. I feel like it's almost going to feel a little bit more like a championship game, where the fans are just absolutely electric. I mean, it's gonna have that feel. I mean, this is Tom Brady. This is somebody in New England who these people grew up with. I mean, there's 20-year-olds that literally grew up with Tom Brady. I mean, the environment is going to be electric. If as much as they're trying to say even here to dismiss the hype, we all know. When we get there and it's a half hour before kickoff, you're going to be seeing sparks in the air. It's going to be so electric.
How much do you think, Jeff, Tom Brady comes in with the high road? The fact that he left and wins the Super Bowl in his first year.
Yeah.
And I imagine, I'm interested to see how Belichick greets him on the field when they finally bump into each other and how Brady, but it feels like Belichick needs this more than Brady right now, right? Doesn't he need something here?
I feel that way. I mean, and there was so much talk about that going into, I felt like when Tom Brady left for another team, everybody was going to be like, you know, Belichick's better because he's going to keep things winning. I didn't necessarily expect Tom to come here and win a Super Bowl right away, especially at 43 years old. And I was already expecting this unfair narrative. And then now all of a sudden, the 44-year-old quarterback is going to go into New England with another Super Bowl ring. Like, to me, he's playing with the house's money at this point. So, I mean, I know they're not trying to make it completely about that, the competition between Belichick and Brady, and maybe it's not, but I do agree that the pressure, if we're talking about pressure, stands squarely on Belichick's shoulders at this point.
You know, Jeff, you said that you didn't expect that, right? Because everybody, we were trying to anticipate where he would go, but you obviously clearly had an edge on everybody by miles about the landing spot was going to be in Tampa.
Yeah.
But when I saw Tampa, it just made sense. Because when you looked at the weapons and you looked at Jameis's 30 interceptions and things, that he's like, Tom will never do that. He's never going to turn the ball over at record pace. They'll probably go and have a chance to win a Super Bowl. With that being said, his voice sounds a little bit worse than mine right now. Why is that?
Yeah, so what you're alluding to is he came into the press conference with a very hoarse voice. Sounded like he lost it completely. In fact, had to end the press conference early because he couldn't get through it. And this, by the way, is the cherry on top of this whole week. When they try to dismiss the hype of going back to Foxborough, all you need to hear was Brady's voice. His voice was hoarse because they were pumping artificial crowd noise into practice that was so loud and he had to scream over it that he lost his voice by the end of it. That's all you need to know. The Bucs know that this game is different. Brady knows that this game is different. They are preparing for that. So they can say whatever they want at this point, but the actions speak literally louder than words. This game will be different.
Where's your glasses from yesterday, Jeff? You didn't hear me when you were on with me with NFL Live. You had the glasses on before we...
Oh, yeah. I took those off. Sal Palantonio is the only person who can pull off wearing sunglasses on the air. That was not happening. By the way, is this uncomfortable? I feel like I'm doing my stand-up right now. Like, I'm supposed to be, like, formal, Jeff. But I'm trying to talk to you guys, like, casually.
We're used to seeing you in Miami, you know, with the sun in the background.
No, the glasses, though. See, you couldn't hear me and Laura and Dan. The glasses, I was like, Jeff looked like somebody's son who owns a team standing in front of their billion-dollar facility. No, it was cool, though. It was that was what's up.
I wish, man. I wish. I couldn't hear you because Orlovsky was talking. He's not stopped talking during breaks. Like, I mean, it's just
great. Jeff Darlington, like, give me my moment, Orlovsky. Formal, informal, glasses, no glasses. He can do it all.
Yeah, thank and, you, not, Jeff. And Dan only talks, not just doing breaks all the time.
Jeff, well, great stuff as always. Thank you. That's Jeff Darlington on the Goodyear Hotline, live from Tampa Bay. He will be in Foxborough on Sunday with the rest of the NFL world. More to the weekend than just Brady and Belichick, of course, as one head coach tries to beat his former boss.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. It's not just about a return to his former home in the NFL this weekend. In college football, former Georgia offensive line coach Sam Pittman takes his 8th-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks. That'd be something, the Razorbacks. Arkansas Razorbacks to Athens, Georgia, to take on the 2nd-ranked Bulldogs. And David Pollack is live from Athens, Georgia, a place he knows so well. David, good morning.
Good morning, Razorback fans.
Yeah, Razorbacks. Talking fast. Do you expect Sam Pittman to get the same ovation in Georgia that Brady's going to get in New England?
No, I don't think the level of winning was that good, and the length of period being there. But I tell you what, Sam Pittman's beloved, and if you know his story, man, he's one of the cooler cats. Like Arkansas is not a top 10, top 15 job in the country. Nobody thinks that way. But it was to Sam Pittman. Like that's home for him. He had a picture on his laptop, and what his picture was his lot where he was going to build his lake house, where he was going to retire in Arkansas. Like he's an Arkansas guy through and through. So there's no better story in college football. He's done a great job with his coordinators, and he's got that great big personality, big smile. So it's fun to see him succeed because he wants to be there and he wants Arkansas to be great.
As you look now, you see what Sam's been able to do for the Razorbacks. Obviously, that was a clear upset of Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher. Can that upset carry over and give your Bulldogs a real fight?
I think it can. I think their brand of football can. But, Key, you know this too. One thing that's important about this week, big week last week. Got to get up for A&M. Hadn't beat him in 9 tries, you know, and top 10 team, really physical game. And now you got to do it again. And I don't know if y'all watched Georgia, but they had a scrimmage last week against a local high school team, and it was over by the end of the first quarter. It was 62-0. You know, they're sitting in a good spot, being well rested, being extremely healthy, got guys not having to play a lot of reps. So it's not a great spot from that standpoint for Arkansas. Arkansas, they better be able to throw the football, and they showed spurts of that last week before KJ Jefferson got hurt. But once he got dinged up a little bit, it went to crap quick. And so I think the passing game, if they get in 3rd and long situations, it's not going to be good for them. I think it's a tough spot for Arkansas to be in, but they're going to have to make plays in the passing game, that's for sure, and that's not their strength.
David Pollack, I have to ask you a question, man. Who has the better chance of making the upset actually happen? Are we talking Ole Miss at Bama, or you think Arkansas at Georgia?
Hottie toddy. I think it's Ole Miss, Jay. I think they can score, man. If you go – and I was watching the other night, late in the morning, early in the morning, whatever you want to say. I went back and watched that Alabama-Ole Miss game again. like Lane Kiffin destroyed Nick Saban last year. I mean, he made him look silly time and time again. They had no answers. I'll argue that I think Ole Miss this year is better offensively than they were a year ago. I think Alabama's defense is actually worse than it was a year ago. So I can see Ole Miss scoring 40. And I know it's at Alabama, and that makes a difference. Is Ole Miss's defense legit better? They got transfers, and they kind of addressed that side of the football, and they've looked good so far. If they can get a few stops, they're going to be in this. They're going to score points in bunches. So I think it's Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss has a realistic shot to beat Alabama.
Cincinnati goes into Notre Dame favorite tomorrow. Pollock, does Cincinnati have a realistic shot at making the college football playoff?
You know, I think this year more than ever they do, because you look at college football and you look at how everybody looks. Nobody looks dominant. People are saying Alabama and Georgia, and then they're trying to find those next teams to put in that window. Ohio State already lost. Clemson's already lost twice. Oklahoma has not looked dominant by any stretch. So, you know, this is the year. First of all, what they did last year I think is a big deal. You know, going undefeated, going to play Georgia, making that a really, really competitive ball game, bringing everybody back. Now if you can beat Indiana and beat Notre Dame, who's a top 10 team, look really good doing it, look good the rest of the year. I think this year, in a year where there's a lot of average and there's not a lot of great, I think this could be a year, if any, for Cincinnati. They can maybe sneak up, make some noise, and maybe get in the playoff.
Okay, break it to me, DP, because, you know, I'm a Duke guy, ACC guy. Any team from ACC have a chance and get into the playoffs? Like any team?
No.
Oh, it's the laugh.
The laugh is the thing that bothers me the most about a DP, the laugh.
My bad. Basketball season's coming, bro. We're gonna have some good times coming your way here in a little bit. I tell you what, Wake Forest to me is a team that's going to win 10 games. They're a team that they benefit from the super seniors. I think they have 9 super seniors back who are guys that are there for their, you know, for their sixth year on campus that know the system. So I think they're really good with Hartman. They're really good offensively, really good defensively. I think they're the best team I've seen right now in the ACC, and it's not saying a lot because Virginia obviously been up and down. Miami's not very good. You watch Clemson, they're not even close to what we've seen of them in the past. North Carolina, good Lord. Sometimes they look really good. Sometimes they're terrible. So I think Wake Forest, if I'm saying that correctly, Jay, is the cream of the crop in the ACC, and that kind of is all you need to know.
All right. It's the first of the month.
Wake Forest, huh?
David Pollack, who is the Heisman front runner 1 month into this season?
Good luck. I think Matt Corral is probably the Heisman front runner, and he's putting up video game numbers, and you watch him against Alabama, he's going to do the same thing. I mean, he's a dual threat guy. He's basically a running back that can throw the football as well as anybody in the country. He's that kind of athletic ability. He's got kind of athlete. So it's him. But whoever wins Ole Miss, Matt Corral versus Bryce Young in Alabama is clearly going to be the front runner, but I think this could change a lot. Like, when you look at Georgia, they're going to be a great team this whole year. They don't have a guy that's going to be in the Heisman mix. So it's going to be interesting to watch who comes, you know, down the stretch hard this year in football, who makes a big push, because you look at Iowa, they're a top 10 team. They don't have a guy. Notre Dame doesn't have a guy. You know, you have to be on a good team. You have to be on a team in contention to win a Heisman. That's kind of been, you know, the rules that people have, you know, voted by for years and years and years. So I think it's wide open. It's as open as we've seen in a long time.
Pollock, how hot will Lane be if he goes into Alabama, wins that game, or he loses one game this year? How hot will he be on the coaching circuit?
You know, this is an interesting one because, you know, Lane Kiffin obviously has baggage from the past from USC that you saw that he struggled. He struggled to run it the way you should run it. He didn't run the program correctly, and he was immature. But you've also seen him kind of turn the page and kind of grow up and do better, and you've seen less antics. So Lane Kiffin's one of the best offensive minds in all of college football. And if you're asking me to pick one guy, he's probably the best. Look at what he's done for Alabama. I mean, he completely changed Nick Saban's direction offensively, his philosophy, how he was going to call plays, how he evolved. Like, that literally is because of Lane Kiffin coming in there. So it shows you how great of a thinker he is, how great of an offensive mind. And I think he's showing you maturity. So, you know, Ole Miss gave him a shot, and it's been rewarded so far. But I would, if I was making decisions, I would definitely continue to monitor. Can he continue to keep his head on straight? Can he continue to be disciplined, run a tight ship, and not let guys, you know, not let guys do whatever they want, make sure they're held accountable, make sure he's a great leader. And I think he could earn that respect back and back. But there's no doubt about it when you talk about offensive play caller. The dude's elite. I mean, he's the best of the best.
That's David Pollack live from Athens, Georgia on the Goodyear Hotline. Thank you, David.
Thanks, DP, for the great Wake Forest
appreciate
breakdown.
It,
appreciate you. Uh-huh. Thanks, man.
College Game Day is live from Athens tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. The one question you haven't heard about Patriots Bucks, and it's next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Time for Take It or Shake It. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. All right, Evan.
This one, though.
Why don't you take it? Tell us whether to take it or shake it.
I will. It's the game of the week, guys. We all know about it. I want to know, though. Belichick and the Patriots, are they going to cover the line right now at Caesars Sportsbook is 7?
I'm taking it.
Take it or shake it. Belichick and the Patriots cover.
Take it. Shake it!
Perfect!
Shake it! I told you, it's going to be one of those.
Nope.
17-9, 20-3. It's gonna be a weird. It's just gonna be a weird game.
Well, 17-9. Oh, okay.
It's gonna be one of those. You know, it's just gonna be one of those weird games where it's not gonna be a blowout, and they barely. The Bucks will barely cover.
What's it? Six and a half. But hold on.
Seven.
It's seven.
Seven.
Key. Okay. You won't bet money on that when Joe Fartenbaugh comes on for a bet, though. If you really believe that, then. Then put it on it. Evan, put me down for $70 on the Bucks to
cover. No, that segment's next.
Well, fine. Well, for future segments, they're going to cover. You know what?
This kid over here to my left.
I'm a grown man, first off. Secondly, Antonio Brown coming back in this one, I think that's a game changer. You could take away a couple of options, but when you got those three options for Tom Brady, okay.
I agree. Too much offensive weaponry. Too much.
But it's going to be one of them crazy, slippery games, right? Where in the end, they're going to kick a long field goal.
Snow's going to come out of nowhere.
No, it's just going to be a kick a long field goal, and they're going to think they're going to get the ball back on an onside kick. They ain't going to get it, and they're going to kill off the score. Watch what I tell you.
So, Key, I still don't understand. Do you think the Patriots are going to lose by less than 7?
I think it's going to be right at 7.
Well, that's the line. That's why you got it.
Right, so are they going to cover?
He said shake it. So I told him to put some money on it.
But I think what he means. But then his analysis felt like he was taking it.
So in other words, Key, in other words, it sounds like you're saying it's going to be close. But when you say 17-9, that's 8.
But I'm just saying one of those type of games.
So a backdoor cover.
Yeah, backdoor cover.
Backdoor cover.
Yeah,
backdoor cover. Well, let's say that.
That's after the game. Before the game, there's going to be a ceremony for Tom Brady. Take it or shake it, the pregame ceremony on Sunday will be a bigger tearjerker than the movie The Notebook. Jay, take it or shake it.
Well, see, I didn't see
The Notebook.
Be
the
this is back.
I think Jay saw it. That's why I asked Jay first.
Was it a tearjerker?
Yeah, it was. But this one.
You should have just said Seinfeld and he would have been all right.
Seinfeld, Martin, I do it all. All I want to say is The Notebook was a tough one, but this is sports, and sports is dear to my heart. And whenever just the Adele music alone over this, like, it sends me in so many different directions. The relationship that could have been even more if a coach just believed in the player. Jeez. Were you guys going to play it? Was
they
that like
should,
the cue to play
they
it?
They should really mess with Brady's mind.
There it is. Let Key talk over this. Go ahead, Key.
And on the Jumbotron, they should do a 20-minute video, like, just of everything and just the song and just everything sit there. And dim the lights down and take out the lighters and just really make you cry.
You see how Key even talking over this right now gives you emotion?
That's Will you I'm guys saying. Cry?
I got zero emotion about this. I'm a Giants fan.
I don't care about you being a Giants fan. It's about the Pats right now.
Yeah, and you're going to get emotional?
Yeah, it's traitor. Tom Brady.
Traitor.
I'm not a traitor.
No, I would get it's special.
Yeah, man.
And if I was in Tom Brady's position, I probably would have a tearjerker. I grew up a USC Trojan fan, literally, you know, a stone throw away from the Coliseum. Sure. The moment that I came out of the tunnel for the very first time and I got to the end, I had tears because I had arrived and it was emotional. And I didn't think that I would leading up to that. I was like, oh, yeah, I've been to the Coliseum a million times as a little kid. But coming out of there with those cleats on and hearing that click, 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 and finally getting to the end, I'm telling you, terrific time, going to have some water up.
Man. It's like me going to Cameron Indoor Stadium this year.
Mess with him.
Me going to Cameron Indoor Stadium this year knowing it's going to be Coach K's last year. Like, that's going to give you – that's something, man. It gives you that feeling.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying it'll be emotional for them. But for a lot of people who rooted against the Patriots, it's not going to be emotional.
That's my coach.
All right, anyway.
That's my coach.
What else we got, Evan?
Comeback win for the Bengals Thursday night football. 2 second-half touchdowns for Joe Burrow. So, take it or shake it. The Bengals are a playoff team this year.
Shake it. Shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
Let's calm down here.
It's good. Shake good it. Little football team. All those sort of things. I don't think they're quite ready yet. They're probably slightly ahead of schedule, but I don't know that they are a playoff team. It's a tough division, right? Tough conference. I don't see 3 teams coming out of that division. Cleveland Browns aren't going anywhere, getting better. You see where the Ravens are. They've gotten some players back. They're going to get better. And then the conference as a whole is just better. The AFC West is loaded. You know, we already see where Buffalo's at. I don't see it.
Yeah, thank you, Keith, for actually being practical about it, because this is what happens. A team wins a Thursday night game against the Jags, and all of a sudden we're like, hey, they're going to make the playoffs. Like, let's just let them progress and be patient and give it time. Give Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase time.
Come from behind. Come from behind win against the Jags. I mean, no, they're not a playoff team, but I'm a believer in Joe Burrow.
They're moving in the right direction.
Like, I look at Justin Herbert, I look at Joe Burrow. Justin Herbert's more talented, but I think Joe Burrow is the guy who may win more.
Do you think they're in the same conversation?
Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow? They came out in the same class?
I know they came out in the same class, but we're saying they're in the same conversation. I'm saying
different. It's different.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, watching him last night and watching, like I said, yesterday, getting ready for NFL Live and watching tape and all that sort of stuff, he's good. He's good. I ain't going to take it away from me. But Justin Herbert has a magical feel to him. Maybe if Joe Burrow was in L.A. opposed to Cincinnati, I probably would feel different.
But no. This is what I mean. You're hitting on it. Justin Herbert, you put your eyes on him, you go, okay, there's a reason people compare him to Dan Marino and Patrick Mahomes. He's differently talented, but there's some dudes. I'm not saying he's going to be this. I'm using these as examples. Joe Montana, Tom Brady.
Joe Cool.
Right? They didn't have that talent, but they had something from the beginning. You're like, damn, these dudes are just, they're special in a different way. They figure it out somehow.
Okay. All right.
Joe Burrow gives me that feeling.
Joe Burrow's been good his whole career, though, really. High school, it didn't work out at Ohio State, but then he goes to LSU, it works out. Then now Cincinnati, clearly we see what he's capable of doing. I mean, impressive.
Yeah, he's impressive.
All right, F.
With Lamar Jackson being banged up and their injuries, I wonder if the Bengals could finish second in that division behind Cleveland.
It's possible.
I wonder.
It's possible.
Keep wondering.
Not a playoff team, but maybe second place in their division.
Yeah, but I don't think the Ravens are in a position. I don't think the Ravens have put themselves in a position to just fall face flat.
I think the Ravens are going to win a lot of games.
Yeah,
this year.
What I'm saying. It's not.
But the fact that you're even asking that, Evan, Bengals are a poorly run franchise. The fact that this guy comes in here in year 2 and year 1 he was doing well. He already has someone asking that question tells you a lot.
Yeah, because it's 3 wins. You've never heard of the Bengals having 3 wins this early in the year.
Nick Saban. We've talked about a 23-0 against his assistants, 21 of those games by 14 or more. Take it or shake it, Lane Kiffin becomes the first former Saban assistant to beat his former boss this weekend.
Shake it!
Shake it.
Not going to happen. Just talking to Lane and having a conversation with him, it didn't sound like to me that they were going to win the game. It sounded like to me that they were going to have a fight, but they were eventually going to get knocked out.
Lane didn't give you the confidence that you needed to pick Ole Miss over
talking
Alabama.
Talking to my good friend didn't make me want to go bet.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.